Joining us right now via the BetQL guest line is Dan Wetzel, columnist for Yahoo Sports, best-selling author. Check out the books out there right now, Epic Athletes for Youngsters. Dan, what's up, dude? Thanks for making some time for us.
Hey, always good to be on. Hope you're well.
We are doing well, dude. There's a lot for us to talk both from an NFL standpoint and a college sports standpoint, but I got to start with kind of the talk of everything in Washington is Jaden Daniels and how he has turned around this Commanders team.
I assume you guys are pretty excited.
That might be an understatement.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, you know, he is just such a talented player. And I think, you know, the question for him has always been his, like, slight frame. And it was maybe one of the reasons he was at Arizona State first, and then he goes to LSU, and there were still kind of doubts, like, would he hold up? And it, maybe that's – I mean, he went second overall, so it's not like he was really downgraded by the scouts. But that's always been the question, and I feel like sometimes, like, everyone looks for what a guy can't do and not what he does do. And I remember I rarely write with my predictions, so I'm going to take a moment when I am. But I was all over him winning the Heisman preseason last year. I should, you know, I don't bet, but I should have. Because I said this is the most talented guy in the country in college football, even more than Caleb Williams. And, you know, again, the question is, well, can he – he's going to get hit. He's fine. He's fine. Mm-hmm. And ended up being that. And I think – talent-wise, his ability to throw the ball, his poise, his experience, all of that. I'm not going to say this isn't surprising, because anytime a rookie comes in and plays as well as anybody in the NFL, it's going to be a surprise. But it's not a total shocker, I think, for those who watched him play college football.
I agree with that, man.
Not at all.
I think – I also saw you had a column. We were just talking about what the Aiden Hutchinson – injury means for the Lions. I know you wrote about that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions are playing really good ball, but he is such a Detroit, and what do they do to kind of overcome it?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple angles on Aiden Hutchinson. One, obviously he produces, right? So he got a 7.5 sack while breaking his leg. He also, if you watch him just play, the motor on him is just ridiculous. He's chasing down everything. He commands a lot of attention from an offensive line. It opens up a lot of other guys to make big plays. So Detroit is a really talented team, really young, really talented. Everyone seems to be getting better each week. They're very, very well coached. They have everything going for them. But what is that taking Aiden Hutchinson out? That is a big piece of a Jenga tower. And what does it, how does it impact? Do they have enough to still win the NFC, win a Super Bowl? Yeah, I think they do. They're going to get somebody in there, but this is a big, big loss. And then you just wonder on two other angles, like leadership, culture, all of that, which Detroit has an incredible amount of right now. I mean, it's just a fun team to be around, because it feels like, they're all pulling in the same direction. Feels like a college team at times, but just with incredible amounts of talent. And then there's just sort of the fan part, where it just, when you have a guy that's just so popular and so much represents a team, you might be able to replace his production, but just kind of stinks. You know, you're just like, I like this guy. And it would have been cool to win with him or lose with him. Whatever it is, it just stinks as a fan. And Lions, you know, Lions fans have had so little through the years, and now they're rolling, and it's like, there's a sort of different elements to it.
Do you think they're very active when it comes up the trade deadline to get somebody to try and replace that?
Probably. I don't know that they'll be able to get, you know, everyone's like, get Max Crosby. He's a guy, went to Eastern Michigan and all that, bring in another guy like that. I think that might be too much. But they're going to bring in some kind of edge rusher. They have a ton of cap space still, 20-plus million, so they can take on a big contract, and they have so much talent around on that roster. Brad Holmes, their general manager, is just on a heater. And maybe this isn't a heater. This is just how good he drafts. But his last four drafts, since he got took over, have just produced, you know, three, four, five starters each time. And so they just have so many good players, and so many of them on cheaper deals that they're able to do a lot of stuff. So the idea that they have this roster that I think, you know, compares with anybody, almost anybody in the league, and yet you're sitting on $25 million in cap space and you still have all your draft picks is pretty amazing. So they have the option to make a big move. I think they're going to try to see how they play without Aiden Hutchinson and before, you know, panicking or making a huge move that would give away future draft picks.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense. You still got two games before the deadline.
Yeah.
We are talking here on the BetQL guest line with Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Covers it all, columnist, writes about the NFL, certainly college football. Let's switch gears over to college football. This has been a wild season so far. You got Bama losing to Vanderbilt a week after beating Georgia. Oregon surviving that Ohio State game. Penn State surviving that USC game on the road. Who had the most impressive weekend for you last week? Maybe it's Texas just beating the hell out of Oklahoma.
I would still give it to Oregon. I think the Ducks getting that win, you know, has allowed them. It is probably the greatest regular season win in the program's history. If it isn't, it's really close. When you can get Ohio State in there and you have a record crowd and so many people watching and all of that. And I think the thing with Oregon's always been, you know, they've had skill players or they run this offense or that. They have Dan Lanning. He came there from Georgia as an assistant coach, and they're physical now. And to me, it was like a real statement that, yeah, we're here and we're going to be a factor in winning the national championship. We got all the tools here. So I would still give it to them. Even if it was a close victory, certainly Texas just, you know, kind of gets their business done, but they've got the big one this week against Georgia. But like you said, it's been a wild season. There's a lot of parity. The playing field in the sport is leveling out, particularly at the top. It's really an exciting time for college football.
Is the NIL helping that? Because I mean, I think the portal. The portal has really helped it. Where the big schools can't just control everything anymore.
No, I mean, if you look back even 5 or 6 years ago, let alone 10, we'd enter seasons with like three teams. You'd be like, they can win the title. You know, we'd have playoff games, semifinals, someone would win by 35, 40 points. Like, it was, you know, all right, there's Alabama, LSU, and Clemson, or that'd pretty much be it, or maybe Ohio State that year, or maybe. But now, the only way to compete at the high level was to just keep signing top five recruiting classes year after year after year after year. You get four or five of them in a row. Now you got your program stacked. You had such depth. Nobody could really compete. And you saw so many conference races weren't really close. It would just be down to one or two teams. You know, you'd just be waiting for Ohio State, Michigan to play or something like that. And even that wouldn't be close. Ohio State would blow them out. Now, as you said, the transfer portal and NIL, it allows all sorts of different schools to compete and get players. And you can't stockpile. A kid's not going to sit there and say, wait, I'm third string, I'm second string. I'm going to go start over here, and I'm going to get some money because I'm a starter. And yep. So not only do you see more teams with players that could potentially win the national title, you see those traditional powers a little weaker and lacking that depth, and then you see the middle of these conferences with more good players. So like a Vanderbilt, you know, they didn't just beat Alabama. They had the ball 42 minutes in that game. They brought in a new quarterback, Diego Pavea, from New Mexico State, is a really exciting quarterback at New Mexico State if you paid a lot of attention to college football. But they also brought in three offensive linemen, and that offensive line was stacked, and they could go toe-to-toe physically with Alabama, which probably in the history of Vanderbilt football has never occurred. And Alabama doesn't have this stockpile of future NFL draft picks anymore because guys sit there and go, hey, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to go here. And so everything is leveled out. I know people, coaches hate NIL. They hate, they're inconvenienced by NIL and the portal, definitely, and they complain about everything. But it is such a huge advantage for college football in terms of everybody getting a shot. It's made the season way more exciting. It's everything that people said, like, oh, Alabama will get everybody, everyone will transfer, the rich will get richer. We've been saying the whole time it would be the exact opposite. Economists would say that isn't how human behavior works. But if you only listen to college football coaches, they think that's what they think. But it turns out, not it. Everybody's good.
Totally. And I think a lot of coaches didn't want to deal with it, so they say bye.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Someone else take that job.
Totally. Dan Wetzel here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow Dan on X at Dan Wetzel, W-E-T-Z-E-L. Dan's got a series of books out there for young kids to read called Epic Athletes. Dan, I want you to know, while we've been chatting, I looked at Epic Athletes, and I just ordered your Alex Morgan and Simone Biles books. My oldest daughter loves soccer. My little one wants to be a gymnast. So there you go. You sold two books by coming on with us.
How about that? We love it. Thank you. They're good for like middle school. Like, they're the old 100-page, like.
Yeah, dude, I remember those as a kid.
Bio, yeah.
My 9-year-old will read it herself. I'm going to have to read it to my 5-year-old. That'll be fun.
Yeah. 9 will be good. We got Caitlin Clark coming out in the spring, too. Got Steph Curry. We got Kevin Durant, local guy there for you.
There you go.
LeBron. We got 11 of them. Serena. Oh, cool. We got a whole bunch. Lionel Messi. They're fun.
I don't want to cause trouble because I have no idea how the pricing is set or whatever, but I did notice that the LeBron book was like $3 cheaper than all the rest of them. I have no idea how or why. But
no comment. I don't know.
Mahomes,
none of them are expensive, though. None of them are expensive.
No, not at all. But this is just on Amazon. Mahomes is $8.36. Kevin Durant's $8.36. Tom Brady's $10.99. LeBron is $6.59.
You know why? Because a lot of them don't know who LeBron is. They probably don't know who Tom Brady is.
Maybe.
But the people you're buying it for.
Yeah, who knows?
LeBron has sold pretty well. That's actually one of the best sellers. I don't know why.
See, you can drop the price on it now. You can drop the price.
Yeah, maybe
it's a volume
play. Yeah, who knows?
I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. I just write them after that. Yeah.
Dude, Dan, I wanted to ask, man. I recognize maybe it's still too early for this, but in the top 10, you've got Texas, Oregon, Penn State, and then Miami that are all undefeated. And then a whole bunch of one-loss teams. But if you're just looking at the rankings, there are a bunch of undefeated teams way further down the rankings. And that includes Army and Navy, and I get that they're maybe in a separate category. But you got Power 4 conference teams. Iowa State is 6-0. BYU is 6-0. Indiana
against, though.
I mean, they're playing Big 12 teams.
Yeah, but the teams may not be good. You got to look at the whole aspect of it.
When does that start to matter?
Well, it starts to matter when we get to the, like, this is the playoff weekend is going to be like, it's a knife fight, man. It's going to be a whole bunch of teams with two losses going, but we had game control here. Oh, you know, we got that win. Middle Tennessee, we beat them there. That bad. Something like that. It'll be everything. It'll matter as we get down to how many bids the ACC and the Big 12 get. Like, is the Big 12 just going to knock itself off and only get an automatic bid? Or do we end up with, say, undefeated Iowa State playing undefeated BYU at the Big 12 championship game, and you go, hey, maybe the loser gets in also. And then it's one less bid for the Big 10 and the SEC. And that's what they're kind of all fired up, are how many of these things work themselves out. But you are correct. There's a whole bunch of undefeated teams. Indiana, they're playing Nebraska this weekend. It's a huge, really, really interesting game. And in the past, without this playoff, nobody cared. Because you're going, Indiana, great. You're not going to make it. You're not going to run the table, right? Eventually, you got to go to Columbus in like November. You got to go. I think they play Michigan and Ohio State back to back. So cute season, but now it does matter. Like Nebraska, Indiana matters in a game because they got potential. Pitt is undefeated. They've got a great season going. Iowa State, as you mentioned, the whole Big 12, anybody could win that thing. It is wide open. You know, from you said BYU, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Arizona State, even Colorado. Still, they only got one league loss, and their schedule opens up. All sorts of potential all over the place. So, you know, Army Navy is fascinating because you could end up in a scenario. Now they both have to beat Notre Dame, but you could end up in a scenario where actually they don't even have to beat Notre Dame. You could end up in a scenario where they play for the week before the traditional Army Navy game. They play the Conference USA Championship game. The American Athletic Conference Championship game. They could both finish undefeated in the league, having not played each other, because they play their league game, obviously, on a special date, right? So you would have back-to-back Army-Navy games with the potential for a playoff berth on the line. And you could have Army and Navy play, and the game, the American Athletic Conference Championship game is played at the home field of the higher-seeded team. So you could have, which never happens now, but can you imagine this? Army visiting Annapolis or Navy visiting West Point. Then they play a week later in the traditional, which I think is in Landover this year.
Yeah, it's at FedEx or Northwest.
Yeah, and that game always – so, but just imagine Army in Annapolis. Like, whole, like, just blows your mind. And, like, the pageantry and this huge game in a stadium that fits – you know, what do they fit, 30?
25,000,
And
West Point, won't have enough room, say it like that.
You don't have enough room, but it would be incredible. And as you guys know, I assume, like, I've been to Annapolis. I've never been to a game at Navy. I have been to a game at West Point. Like, the scenes at those places are just so great. And I can't even imagine Army-Navy. Sure. So we're a long way away, but can you imagine that scenario popping up?
Now, one stadium they do have plenty of space is Texas in Austin. Yeah. Georgia coming to Austin this weekend. I mean, you probably got 25 guys that are going to get drafted on the field in this game. What do you make of that matchup?
You'll have more than that. Like, over the couple years?
Yeah, over a couple, sure.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be a game with, like, 35, 40 guys over the, you know, on the two rosters. Huge game. I mean, Texas has looked absolutely brilliant. That said, their only really impressive victory is at Michigan. How good is Michigan this year? They don't have a quarterback. Hard to say. Georgia obviously loses that late game, late to Alabama. They have looked shaky. Georgia needs, you know, we talk about the playoff. Oh, you know, Georgia could lose the game and still get in. You could. You'd have two losses. You'd be walking a tightrope at that point. But you also may end up like a 10 seed and have to go on the road and not get a bye. You have to play four games, including a road game, instead of. So there's a lot at stake for Georgia not to get that second loss. And obviously for Texas, you know, they have a feeling like, hey, we've got the best team. We got the best team in the country here. You play under any scenario, no one's going to beat us. So huge opportunity for both teams here. Tons of talent will be, again, like last Saturday night's big game, Ohio State Oregon, when you're watching and going, oh man, there's NFL guys all over this field. Like there are skill players, there are line, like this is a high level game, and that's what it's going to be on Saturday night.
Cool. Hey, Dan, man, we really appreciate your time, Dan. Dude, everybody give him a follow at Dan Wetzel.
Thank you guys, talk to you soon.
Hi, man. Appreciate you.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, check out his columns weekly.